Thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. Call in or text in at 312-981-7200. You just said something, Wendy, I never thought I'd hear you say. There was too much television last night.
Too much TV watching.
A lot of good options. That?
Had to watch the Bears. Yay, Bears! Are you back in?
No. I am happy for them, but several people accosted me on my way in and said, huh? They just said, huh, like that. And I go, I know. I don't want them to lose. I want them to win.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I do.
You're a contrarian.
I want them to win.
They did.
They did win.
So your wants became desires.
They won in convincing fashion, too.
I don't know about that.
Really at the end.
I'm setting Bill up. Come on, Bill.
Right.
Let's go. Right?
Right.
They won. You know what? A W is a W.
That's right. Right. So let's try to get more W's than L's, and good things will happen. So congrats to the Bears.
W begins Wendy. L begins Leff. Just so you know.
Thank you, Letterman.
Ripping an L off my varsity sweater.
Yeah. All right. So the Bears won, and get your Super Bowl tickets now. All right. The Cubs played a very important game against Arizona. I'm guessing you didn't see much of that. That's fine.
No.
That's
nothing.
Fine. White Sox had the night off. In other news, they had a huge award show to celebrate television.
It was Saturday Night Live is what it was.
There was a lot of representation from Saturday Night Live for a couple reasons. Number one, it was executive produced by Lorne Michaels.
I know. I heard Betty White thank him 7,000 times.
That happened quite a bit last night. I have to say, and Mary brought this up during Steve's show, I was a little nervous for Betty last night.
She was a little scattered.
She scared me.
Yeah.
But she still funny as hell.
She pulled through. Yeah.
But she just seemed like, and then as I'm sitting there going, oh, come on, Betty.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's 96.
Yeah.
She's lucky she can get a word out. Come on. She still has a sense of humor. She just seemed a little scattered.
Right. And that happens.
It happens to me now, and I'm 95.
Aren't the presenters supposed to recite their lame jokes before they announce the nominees?
That's how it normally happens, Steve, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was done in a weird fashion. It was like the nominees, then
things
the weird
were out
jokes,
of order.
And then the awards.
Yeah, they tried something a little bit different with the pacing, which I'm not positive it worked, but they were trying something a little bit different. They had the announcer, for people who didn't see it, the announcer announced and showed clips of the various nominees. That's usually the presenter's job. So, you know, I don't know if it streamlined it. I don't know what it did.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah. Well, I really didn't watch very much of it. But I'm trying to give them credit for trying something new.
Right.
I didn't like it at all because then the presenter's little banter was so stilted.
It was so stupid.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really was lame.
I know.
Colin Jost and Michael Che did a great job. I liked their monologue. I really did. I know you're big fans.
I mean, I am. I love those guys on air and off air, but I didn't think they took enough chances. I think they played it way safer than I think
they
should have played it.
It's their first year. They want to be asked back.
Is that what it is? Yeah, maybe.
I thought they were pretty good. I love Maya Rudolph, and I would marry Fred Armisen, but that was such a waste of time.
It didn't work the way it should have worked.
At
all. There was a lot of stuff where I went, this is a really good idea.
Not executed or what?
The Reparation Emmys is a great idea.
That was funny.
I like the idea more than the actuality.
I like Marla Gibbs. That's really what made it for me.
Right. Right. Any chance to see Marla Gibbs?
Jimmy Walker.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Marla Gibbs was on? No, she wasn't on.
She was on the clip. You didn't see this part, Steve. Michael Che did a thing called the Reparation Emmys.
Which sounds hilarious.
All the black people that should have received Emmys in the past and didn't. He went and found them and gave them Emmys.
Gave them Bill Cosby's Emmys. That's what was funny.
Yeah, there was that.
That was funny.
Yeah.
And that's edgy enough.
Yeah.
I loved it because the last guy who I didn't know who it was.
John Witherspoon?
Yeah, he said something like, I spy. I wasn't on I spy.
Right.
So Michael Che was giving away all
Bill
of.
Bill Cosby's
yes.
Emmys. Right. I know.
That was funny. That was funny.
It was funny, but it could have been better somehow. Mm. It could have. There were so many things that I went, oh, this is good. Could be better. I mean, I guess you could say that about almost anything. Now, Steve, the one moment that you did see, I thought this was hysterically funny, but a lot of people were confused by it. So at some point, Ben Stiller, Benicio del Toro,
yeah.
and
Patricia
Curtis
Arquette.
Curtis Granderson.
It was not Curtis Granderson.
No. It was Patricia Arquette.
Wendy gets the point on this one. It was Patricia Arquette. So they're announcing something, and out of nowhere, Benicio del Toro, as they're each doing their cue to, I have to say this line, now you say your line, now you say your line, Benicio del Toro says, "We have killed and we will kill again."
So I was watching that. That was the one I tuned in for.
Was that from all his, I can't think of the name of the movies that he's in.
I think he says that in every movie.
He's the man to me. I
think Benicio del Toro just says that in every movie.
But then I didn't understand what came after that.
Their lack of reaction.
They were confused by it.
But then there were some more words. I didn't quite get the words. And so literally, you guys, Sharon's in there. I'm getting ready to go to bed. And by then I'd watch the nominations be named and then the bad banter.
Yeah.
And Patricia Arquette is saying, "And the winner is," and I turned the TV off. And Sharon's like, "What are you doing?"
Before you even found out who the winner was.
I could have waited 3 more seconds to see who the winner was, and I just, like, I don't even
care. Just became apathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there were little moments, little quirky moments like that that were I don't know.
I
always enjoy watching, but last night, I wanted it to be a little more cutting edge and dangerous, but I guess this is the year to not make it more cutting edge and dangerous.
It was pretty cutting edge.
You thought,
especially the girl with the no bra, which we talked about.
Alex Borstein.
Wow.
Of course, Bill knows her name.
Well, she's famous.
I never heard of her before in my life.
I'm like, who is
Who's Alex Borstein?
She's been in 1,000 things. She used to be on In Living Color. She's the voice on...
she's funny.
Family Guy.
Family Guy,
she's Peg on Family Guy. She's
been
in 1,000 shows.
Well, I thought that their monologue was pretty edgy. I'll tell you, the best way to watch something these days is flying through it.
Yeah, fast forwarding.
Yeah.
I taped both at the same time, the Bears and the Emmys, and I kept going back and forth.
Me too.
And yeah, that was the way to go.
Caught up on halftime.
Yeah. Couldn't go to the bathroom, but oh well.
Well, you can, Mary. You can pause it.
No,
and then
but
it'll
just
magically reoccur when you come back.
Were you like juggling on like the plates on Bozo?
I felt like it. That's why I
No, if you hit pause, there's a button on your remote that says pause. You can go to the bathroom for 20 minutes.
I wanted to hurry up. I had to go to bed, so I was like trying to rush through everything.
On some remotes, it's just a pee, and that could mean potty or whatever you want.
All right. Now,
did Alex Borstein, what did she win for?
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Supporting actress? I don't think so.
Oh, you and Mary have the same writer. Mary said the same thing this morning.
Oh, she did something for the show, didn't she?
Yeah, she's on the show. She's a supporting actress on the show.
Never seen the show. Where is the show?
It's a good show. It was on, I think it's Netflix. It might be Amazon, but I think it's Netflix.
I don't think it's Netflix. I don't know. It's very hard
to find. Maybe it's Amazon. It's
the lady
show.
Who created the show, along with her husband, won 2 awards at the very beginning. Did you ever see somebody and you just say to yourself, if I was at a party and that person was there, I would leave the party?
It's on Amazon Prime.
She was who created it was so loud and obnoxious.
It's Palladino, right? So she's the woman there. That's the couple behind Gilmore Girls.
Oh, is it really?
Yes. And so if you watch The Incredible Mrs. Maisel, and I think Mrs. Maisel is from Highland Park.
Yeah, she's from around here.
And it's more of an adult show. It's set in the 50s or 60s in New York in the ad era. And stand-up comedy, but I think you probably wouldn't like it. But
it's supposed to be awesome.
It's got the pace of Gilmore Girls, but it's more of an adult show.
Interesting. I'll see it.
You won't like it because it's about stand-up comedy and you won't like it.
Yeah, maybe.
Lenny Bruce is a returning character in the show.
Is Kevin Pollak in it? Because they showed him on stage
Tony Shalhoub plays her father, and Kevin Pollak plays her father-in-law, I think.
Oh.
And Rachel Brosnahan is Kate Spade's niece, remember?
Right.
Okay.
And she's from here.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. There was a controversy last night surrounding Donald Glover.
Yeah, I don't know this.
I will explain it to you. It's really cool. Very strange. I'll tell you what it is next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thanks for saying Diamondbacks.
Not D-backs.
I don't like it.
Sounds derogatory. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder. We're talking about last night's Emmy Awards, the hits and misses of the show. So what was the controversy with Donald Glover? Donald Glover is a very very talented writer, actor, director, producer. He's also Childish Gambino. I almost said Carla Gambino, but he's not Carla Gambino. He's Childish
Lando
Gambino.
Calrissian?
Yeah, he played young Lando in the Han Solo movie.
Awesomely, I might add.
He was nominated for his work in the television show Atlanta, but you didn't see him. He wasn't around. So during the presentations, during the awards, Bill Hader wins for his work on a show called Barry on HBO.
Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
I haven't watched it yet, and I keep meaning
to. It's really good. And Henry Winkler, who also won last night, is his acting teacher on that show, and he's great in it. So Bill Hader wins, and when Bill Hader is making his way to the stage, people around him are congratulating him, and it's the people you would assume are either friends of Bill Hader's or co-workers of Bill Hader's, but there's no surprises. Everybody's coming up and congratulating him and giving him a hug. As he makes his way to the stage, they show a guy in the audience who approaches him who's just out-and-out spooky-looking. And you can't tell when you see this guy. He's a tall, white guy with strange hair, and he's wearing kind of a retro red velvet tux, but his face is such that you don't know if he's had way too much plastic surgery. Like, you know the guy that they call the human Ken doll?
Yeah.
He goes in every couple of weeks and has something done to his face. So you don't know if that's this guy's story or if he's just creepy. Or at some point I thought to myself, that guy may have been in a fire. He may have been a burn victim. I don't know what happened to his skin, but it's not his. Something's not right with this guy. So he approaches Bill Hader, and Bill Hader's not even, he's not embarrassed. He just gives the guy a big hug and stuff, and then he makes his way to the stage. And then at some point, very soon after, they show him again in the audience, just kind of taking it in, and you go, ooh, I'm not sure who that guy is, but ooh, like that. So then the question arises, why isn't Donald Glover at this thing? He should be at this thing. Well, then we find out, possibly, that this guy is Donald Glover, that there's a character on Atlanta named Teddy Perkins, and that Donald may or may not be playing that character on the show, so he may or may not have shown up at the Emmy Awards dressed as this guy, Teddy Perkins. Now, the weirdness of this whole thing is that after the show, there are photographs taken of a lot of the people just kind of hanging around and showing off their statues and stuff like that. And there's a picture of Donald Glover with Teddy Perkins.
I saw him in the audience, Donald Glover.
So that means, excuse me, that means...
It wasn't him.
It probably wasn't him, but were they perpetrating the myth that it was him? You know how Andy Kaufman used to do this character, Tony Clifton, and sometimes it was Andy, and sometimes it was his friend Bob Zamuda,
yes.
And everyone's like, wait, I thought Andy was Tony Clifton, but now this guy's Tony Clifton.
Did you see the show? Do you know this character?
I don't know the character.
He's like a recluse, lives in a... He's like a Michael Jackson sort of... guy. In fact, I think he was a musician, part of a musician's family. So as I recall, he's almost the Michael Jackson character.
Was he only in one episode, Steve?
He
comes back every once in a while?
I don't know for sure. He might have been in a couple, but it was second season. Creepy.
So for people who normally watch the show, to see that character sitting in the audience, that's very amusing. But for the rest of us, I was afraid for everybody.
I thought it was Tommy Wiseau for a half a second.
Wendy, as I'm explaining to my wife, I go, you got to see this guy. He's like, if Tommy Wiseau just kept having plastic surgery over and over and over, that's what this guy was like.
But I saw, because as we were fast-forwarding, I saw Donald Glover in the audience laughing about something.
Well, that's why, for everybody who said, oh, that's just Donald Glover dressed as this guy, because during the show, I looked it up, I'm like, who is that? Why is that guy there? So everybody goes, oh, it's Donald Glover, but then later on, you did see Donald Glover,
well,
and then pictures of him together.
Maybe it was Bob Zamuda.
Right.
I'm looking at a picture of him, of the guy, the character, and he's got very white hands.
Yeah.
I mean, not...
Yeah.
Well, you can make up.
Well, you can, but I mean, it doesn't look that way. Not like his face is made up.
Well, the speculation was last night that Jay Farrow, who used to be on Saturday Night Live, and we've had him on our show, that he may be playing that character. He's a friend of Donald Glover's, so he might have been doing him a favor last night and showing up as this guy. It's just weird that somebody would bother to do this during the Emmy Awards. Nobody else dresses up in character for the Emmy Awards, but he did. Somebody did.
It's sad, though, that more people are talking about this than the actual show.
Well, the thing that got the most play last night was the guy who got engaged.
That was just...
You were upset by that?
I don't know who he is. That's selfish.
It is... But it's like, it's probably the one moment from the show that people will remember in 5 or 10 years.
I almost forgot about it. Until Steve Cochran asked me what I thought of it. I mean, it was sweet.
No doubt about it. It's selfish to use that time for something that's really only, you know, you and the girl you're asking to marry care about.
And he said, don't start the music.
Right. But you did hear, seriously, you heard all the A-listers of Hollywood that were in that room, you heard the, oh, everybody just melted when that happened. And people, they showed people in the audience wiping tears and stuff like that.
Come on.
So
they're actors, Bill.
You don't think they were really moved by it?
I mean, it was really sweet because right when he started and he said, you know, the person that would love to see this win more than anything is my mom.
Yeah.
And she passed away 2 weeks ago. That was the, oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
And then.
But that was good backstory for what was coming.
The 67 years. Here's the ring my dad put on my mom's finger. Yada, yada.
Really?
I
loved that. I thought that was really nice. And I hate reality television, but I just thought, wow, this guy, he really put it on the line. Because, first of all, his odds of winning were 1 in 6. So
technically, she didn't say yes. She nodded.
She did,
and then she said, I love you, but I wanted to hear a clear and audible yes.
Isn't it also funny that you can win an award for producing a show that's about awards?
Yes.
He won for the Academy Awards. He directed it.
What if he didn't win?
That's what I'm saying. Then what is plan B? You know, it's not going to be anywhere near as grand as last night as doing it in front of tens, if not hundreds of millions of people across the world.
I don't know. Slip it into the envelope for best picture next year.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Right.
I don't care one way or the other. I mean, it was sweet.
I thought it was.
Sounds like you're a little put out, Wendy.
Well, you know.
I mean, if you're going to do something distracting, that's the thing to do. I'm surprised everybody, like, for the rest of the night, people just didn't ask people to marry them. Hey, Chrissy Teigen, will you marry me? I would have just done that.
How do you say her name?
Chrissy.
No, Teigen. I read a story that we're saying her name wrong.
Really?
Oh, I saw her on the red carpet, and she said she pronounces it Teigen, but her father pronounces it Teigen.
Oh.
So it's really supposed to be Teigen, but she just says Teigen.
Oh.
I was like, what?
It's like the Patty Vasquez-Vasquez thing.
It's similar to that.
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
it is.
I actually heard a story about that what's the Grande girl? Ariana Grande.
Her name's being said wrong, too.
It's Grandy. In England, it's Grandy.
Really?
I heard that this morning. I didn't know what it was about, but that must have been it.
See, Wendy, in a time where everything we think we know is a lie, a man and a woman found love at the Emmy Awards.
Woohoo!
Miracles happen.
And they were married by that freak in the first row.
That would have been the perfect way to close the show.
That would have been.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Steve. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. You look scared. Are you scared? What's wrong?
I'm not scared.
You look startled.
I just wanted to tell people to join us on Friday. We are going to be live. What?
I just thought I should look scared, too.
I guess that is distracting.
You look very scared.
The whole radio station's going to be out. We're going to rally the troops. White Sox rally, kick off the Red Line series. It's happening this Friday. We are going to be broadcasting live at Cork and Carry at the park. It's 3259 South Princeton. Cochran's going to start it all off at 6 a.m. Then we're going to broadcast live. Then John Williams for a little bit. And then the Wintrust business lunch will be in there.
You shouldn't have to beg. I don't get it, but okay.
Yep.
And then at 2:30, the pregame show starts. So.
Wendy, can I read to you a list of some of the guests scheduled to appear on our show on Friday? Ed Farmer.
I love Ed Farmer. I think I might have figured out the donut reference, too.
Oh, last time we had Ed on, he mentioned donuts about a dozen times.
I get
it. He sent me to his car for donuts.
Did he?
He said, they're in my car. You want to go get them? And I said, no.
Like, of all the people I've ever talked to in my life all put together, they didn't mention donuts as often as Ed Farmer did. And we were curious as to why he liked to talk about donuts so much.
He has a connection to a family, I believe, who owns the bakery in Burr Ridge.
Oh,
he's not related to, but they lost a son, and he is very tight with them.
Oh.
Some organ donation thing. That's all I have. We can ask him about it, and he can build on that.
All right.
Because he is the donut man.
Yes.
He was really... He made you go to his car, Steve?
Well, he suggested it.
Yeah, he suggested it. He said, they're in my car. That's right outside.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I didn't really understand what was going on.
But I kept, like, I had never met him before, and I kept wanting to bring up stories about, you know, the White Sox of old and stuff like that, and then he kept changing it over to donut talk.
Yeah, he wanted, he wanted us to have the donuts.
Yes. And I hope that we'll continue this outing on Friday.
Well, we just have to get behind the story there.
Yeah.
But we are going to be at Cork and Carry at the park, Bridgeport, this Friday. I can't decide which jersey to wear.
Go with the White Sox jersey.
No, I have. I have a home and I have an away.
Well, they are home.
I know, but I like the away. I like just the gray that says Chicago on it.
Do costume changes. Look what it's done for Cher. Just keep doing costume changes.
You can get all the deets at WGNradio.com/events. And this whole live broadcast rally Redline series broadcast is sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company and Virtue Cider. When has this become the Redline series? Wasn't it the Crosstown Classic?
It used to be called that, yeah.
Why isn't it still?
I'm not sure
why. I like that.
Yeah, that sounds better because not everyone will be taking the Redline to attend the games.
Right, because aren't some games are now... Were the games, how did they do it? Did they switch parks?
They already played at Wrigley
earlier
in the season.
Oh, that's right.
That
was, yeah. Really, yeah. All right.
Yep.
Didn't they used to go a couple games there? Like,
not in the same series.
Oh, they didn't?
No, they would spread them out. Sometimes they were closer together than this year. But we'll ask Ed Farmer, and he'll offer us a donut.
Okay.
Well, it's ironic because in baseball, there is a donut.
That you put on the bat.
Yeah, when you're in the on-deck circle.
What does that do? It weights the bat so you can just get better swing practice?
Yeah. Although now they've shown players are now swinging. This will sound like I'm making it up, because even as I'm saying it, I'm going, no, you won't believe me, but it's true. Some of the players now swing what they call rebar. You know what that is? Like when they're building buildings?
Yeah, it's like metal piping.
It's like that metal piping, yeah. So instead of a bat, they'll swing rebar, and I'm not sure... I don't know enough about it to know why that would be advantageous. I would think something shaped most like a bat would be your best bet.
And here's my stupid question of the day. There will be others
to follow.
There
will be others later.
Why do you need a heavier bat or a big piece of rebar? Wouldn't you want to practice swinging the bat that has the weight that you're going to swing?
That makes sense, but the common theory is that after you've swung a much heavier bat 15 or 20 times than swinging a regular bat, you'd go, well, this is a piece of cake. This is, or a piece of donut if you're listening, Ed Farmer, is so much lighter and easier to maneuver. So by comparison, but then you go, well, then why don't they just swing a giant dumbbell, like an 80-pound dumbbell, and then the bat would seem like a feather.
Yeah, I don't really understand that. Does it loosen you up, maybe?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now all the padding on baseball players, it's all over the place.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it was just a cup before and maybe some shin guards.
But now, it's like
calf
a full
guards, face guard.
Tortoise shell.
Elbow guard.
Yep.
Pinky guard.
Yep.
A lot of guards.
It's true. We will ask Ed Farmer these questions.
All
and
right.
He will offer us a donut. That's how we'll know everything's good. There was something that we had Steve Dale in yesterday, noted pet expert Steve Dale. And Wendy, you know, whenever Steve comes in, you can have a game plan in place, but then Steve, you know, he charms you with that winning smile and that crazy wit of his.
He is adorable.
He's adorable. So I didn't get a chance to ask him about this, so I will ask you about this. Even though you're not a noted pet expert, you have a love of animals.
I'm a noted pet lover.
You're a noted pet lover. That's perfect. If I told you that in Wisconsin they found 5 squirrels with their tails all tied together, what would your thoughts be on that?
There's some jerk out there doing it.
That is beat for beat what I thought. I'm not a pet lover the way you are, and squirrels aren't the best. But if you're thinking about getting your kids a pet, think outside the squirrel box. There's better pets. So that's exactly what I thought is. Who in Wisconsin would do this? What would the motive be for a Wisconsinite?
Easier to shoot?
To find... Oh, that's
if there's 5 tied together?
Interesting.
How many tied together?
5 squirrels' tails all tied together. So what you have there is the squirrel circle with their tails in the middle all tied together. Turns out, this is according to the Wisconsin Humane Society, who found these 5 squirrels, that had nothing to do with it. What happened is... they had a squirrel nest, and they were so busy running back and forth and back and forth that somehow magically, with all that movement, their tails just knotted up. But that would have never even occurred to me that that could happen.
That they did it to themselves.
Yeah.
Well, they should be embarrassed.
They are. Wendy, it says in the story that the squirrels, and they don't print their names for that reason, are highly embarrassed over this. The five squirrels have been rescued after having been found with their tails tied together. The entanglement is thought to have happened by Chance with the giant
rapper?
Knot. No, not Chance the rapper. Or is it? Nope, it's not. With the giant knot forming as the Young Grays, that's the brand of squirrel.
Gray squirrel.
Yep. Moved about their nest and around each other. Grass, twigs, and bits of plastic had also become interwoven into this entanglement. A member of the public discovered the bizarre scene in Wisconsin, and then it says in the U.S., but I guessed that on my own. I didn't.
You're need, good.
I didn't need that little clue. That happened on Wednesday and took them to a wildlife rehabilitative center at the state's Humane Society where vets worked to get them free. You can imagine how wiggly and unruly this frightened, distressed ball of squirrely energy was. Our first step was to anesthetize all five of them at the same time. That's the thing is, if somebody did this or tried to do this, you couldn't just, couldn't hold down a
no.
No.
They move too quickly, and way they quickly. Really don't come up to people that often.
Yep. So you're making that noise, right? Okay, just making sure. It was impossible to tell whose tail was whose, and we were increasingly concerned because all of them had suffered from various degrees of tissue damage to their tails caused by circulatory impairments, according to the center. But once loose, the squirrels were left apparently unaffected by the tangle. So,
thank God.
As a happy ending.
I like a happy ending.
Squirrels just want to have fun, Wendy. We'll take a quick break. And then Bridget Carey joins us from CNET. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. It is, in fact, a Tech Tuesday. And Bridget Carey is on the line with us, senior editor at CNET. And Bridget, what's going on this Tech Tuesday?
Well, we got folks going to the moon. And, I mean, like civilians.
Regular people like you and us?
More well, if you and I are billionaire entrepreneurs, I guess we're not. Yeah.
So what do you have to do? How do you do this? How do you go to the moon?
All right. So SpaceX, Elon Musk company.
He's losing his mind lately, by the way, Elon Musk. I don't know what's happening to him, but he is losing it.
You know, I hope he's got some friends to kind of talk him down off Twitter and just like take a chill pill because I don't know what's going on either. It's not looking good, but. He kind of took, tried to take attention away from his drama lately and had an announcement that they found their first paying customer for taking a trip to the moon in the year 2023. It's something that SpaceX has said they were going to do since last year.
Is it Alice
and
Cramden?
Bang, zoom to the moon!
This is actually someone I haven't heard of before. It's a billionaire art collector and entrepreneur from Japan. His name is Yusaku Maezawa. He's 42 years old, and he is using this as a big art project in a way. Hashtag Dear Moon is what he calls it, and he wants to take with him six or eight artists from around the world, you know, people who are fashion designers, painters, musicians, and basically go on this journey where you travel around, see the earth, and maybe when they come back, they can create art that could inspire and contribute to a future world peace.
Whatever.
So it sounds very nice.
All right. And how much will it be expensive? It's got to be a real expensive day, right?
Oh, I'm sure, because I did not see price tags, but he's a billionaire, and this is why I think, to be able to be the first until they get this technology to be more practical, it has to be someone extreme like this.
Bridget, what's the timeline on this? When are they looking to do this?
2023.
Oh, all right. Right around the corner.
Yeah. So, it's going to wait a little bit, though.
How long does it take to get to the moon?
A couple days. Depends on traffic. Lakeshore Drive, they're working on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is not a landing, it looks like. This is just a go-around.
Oh, you don't get to go? You don't get to get out? You have to just, you just drive by it?
Well, from on the video, it looks like it looks like this is a flyby. Like, you go, you like, swing around the atmosphere. I don't know if that rocket that SpaceX has, it's not like, it's just a rocket that I think will re-land on Earth, but I don't know if it'll land on the moon, then go off again. Yeah.
What if your parents said, we're going to Disneyland, and they just drove you, like, by Disneyland? That wouldn't be as good as going in Disneyland.
It's like riding the monorail and then going home.
Right. I don't like this at all.
Well, you know what? I guess you got to start somewhere.
For 80 extra bucks, you should get to go out on the moon or something. They should have a second option. I don't like this.
Like a fast pass.
Yeah.
Like a moon.
Yeah.
At least a spacewalk or something, right? Yeah.
All right, and there's a new update for the iPhone, and I'm looking at it right now. iOS, or EOS, as Bill calls it, number 12. It brings performance improvements and exciting new features to iPhone and iPad. Should we download or should we not?
This time, absolutely, yes. Even if you have an older one like the iPhone 5S.
That's what I... I have a 6. 6S.
Yeah, well, still, you know... All old models may see improvements in speed and reaction and battery from this operating system. That was the big goal here. So, if you're feeling things are sluggish, this could help things. There's also some new settings in there that people may like. In particular, there's been a lot of talk about screen time, where it will let you know how much time you're really spending scrolling through social media and other games. And you can have little pop-ups, if you so choose, to say, hey, you've been on Facebook for 30 minutes. Maybe you're hitting your limit for the day, to try to curb your use and be more aware of how many times you even just turn on the phone, it'll tell you. You know, so it kind of, I guess, awareness in this case may help, you change your habits to some degree. And if you have a newer phone, like the iPhone 10 from last year, by just updating iOS 12, you're not going to probably even need the new phone. It'll be a faster experience, and there's some new features, like, you know how you can unlock the phone with your face. Now two people can use their faces to sign in, so you could have you and your significant other. You know, so there's a few other little quirks like that.
What if someone has a face similar to yours? Like Ryan Reynolds and I have almost the exact same face.
Yeah, you wish.
They say that is one in a million, Bill. So,
yeah.
And you know what? You are one of a million.
Yeah, thank you. That's nice of you. Thanks.
All right, here's what we have to do. Someone has to spring for a new iPhone for me. And then we have to get James Spader in here and me with no makeup.
See if
and
you can unlock his phone.
Yeah, because I'm sure we look exactly alike.
Yeah, all right. That's easy.
How did that work before? Like, if you were identical twins, could they unlock the phone prior to this?
Yes, that was the. There were a few buts, I guess you could say, a few exceptions to the rule. Identical twins can unlock the phone. I actually work with some, and yes, they can unlock the phone with each other. And there is also a little bit of a wonky area when you're dealing with young children, because sometimes their faces are still looking a lot, you know, like mom and dad, or they're not totally, you know, worked out. So, like, yeah, young kids, it's not as secure because the brother and sister might look a lot alike, you know, or whatever the case may be. So it's really for adults, and that'll be the best security right there.
I bet this caused a lot of fights at Chang'an Bunker's house, Wendy.
I know you're going to have to explain to Bridget who that is and about 90% of the listeners.
Here's a text, Bridget. Can you ask Bridget how some people are now removing the share button from their Facebook posts? Do you know what that means?
Wait,
how can you remove it?
Out?
Yeah, that's what it says in the text. I don't know if that's possible. Can you remove it?
I don't think so, but what you could be seeing is Facebook messing around with and doing tests. Sometimes things look different to some people because they're changing the layout of something. So maybe they change the layout of the share button, or they're hiding. I don't know. Why would you not want someone to share your stuff? That's very interesting.
There have been
privacy maybe issues?
Some posts that I've seen, yeah. There isn't a share button there. Mm. And it's frustrating to me.
Mm.
Well, it could also be because of their privacy settings, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe I have it just for my close friends only. And it's not going to give anyone the option to share because your friends will be able to see it anyway.
Yeah.
And is this thing really true where if you cut and paste this thing that says I can only see 25 friends on Facebook, the logarithm, you're supposed to cut and paste and put it on your story, and then someone, you say, oh, if you want to be part of my feed, put just one word, and then does that do anything?
People, don't ever do this.
I knew it means nothing.
It means nothing, and it makes you look like you don't understand technology. So let me explain why it means nothing. Here's the deal. Facebook is, if you have 800 friends, you're really popular. You're not going to see 800 people's status updates constantly. It's going to prioritize based on people you interact with most, and that's the core idea here. So if you're missing somebody and you want to see more of them, just hit like a few times on their posts, and you'll start to see more of them. And that's what people are saying. They're like, it's this feeling that there's no control over your feed. People just want to see a chronological, list of all their friends and what they posted. But too often now, these algorithms are telling you what you would like to see, and you feel like, well, what if I'm missing something? And you are missing things. But no status update can change that. It's about who you're interacting with the most.
Thank you for solving that, because everyone has been putting that on their status. Bill looks confused.
I never saw this before.
You go through other people's posts, and it says, I know this works. I wasn't seeing a bunch of my friends pop up, so here's what you have to do. Hold your home button, or hold your finger over this, copy it, then paste it into your status.
But it's ridiculous.
It's useless, and thank you for solving the great mystery, Bridget. That's why we love talking to you on a Tech Tuesday. She's Bridget Carey, CNET Senior Editor, and you can find her at CNET.com. She's also on Twitter. Bridget, thank you so much for disputing this rumor.
Always happy to crush people's dreams of making them realize they don't know what they're doing on Facebook.
Well said.
And do you know who Chang and Ang Bunker are?
No, I don't.
They were the conjoined twins that used to be in the Guinness Book of World Records forever.
50 years ago.
Yeah, Chang and Ang Bunker. We had them on the show yesterday. They're great.
Thanks, Bridget. Thank you, Steve. Steve, I know you usually go at this time, but I just want to ask you if you saw the Weather Channel's reporter who really appeared that he was faking his report from Hurricane Florence.
No, I didn't see that.
The video has been all over the place. It's a weather guy who, he's a meteorologist, and he's covering it live, the hurricane, and the audio is, this is the worst it's ever been, and he is looking like he is really bracing himself so he doesn't get blown over, and he's holding, his hand by his ear, like in the old Gary Owens position.
Sure. Yeah.
And then there are two dudes in gym shorts that just walk past him.
Yeah,
obviously.
Unaffected.
Yeah. I mean, their clothes are blowing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Why would you do something like that?
He's obviously showing off his mime skills. Did you ever see that thing that mimes do where it's walking against the wind, where they're like, they keep holding their hands out, but the wind's pushing their hands? So this guy's obviously very, very good at it.
The Weather Channel, he is a meteorologist there.
Marcel Marceau is his name, Wendy. I just found him on your social media.
Some guy on Twitter was watching and saw this and posted it, and it went pretty much viral.
Well, until the two guys walk behind him, it's very believable.
Absolutely.
Because you do see that it's windy, and he's struggling his best to just kind of stay without falling down. But then these two guys behind him just stroll past as though there's nothing.
I'm looking at it. So what's the offense? Is the offense...
Well...
I mean...
That he might be overacting a little bit.
Right, that his staggering against the wind might be exaggerated.
Yeah.
Because, the wind's really blowing and it's whipping his... Look at his pants. It's blowing...
Why don't those two guys seem to be affected by it?
Well, they are walking with the wind. The two guys are.
It's a pretty big difference. The Weather Channel's Mike Seidel... He really appeared to be battling to stay upright, and these two dudes walk by, and then they kind of come back, and you see their gym shorts moving in the wind.
Well, but he's not making the wind up. His pants are flapping like
it is
mad.
Windy, but it seems to be more manageable than he's letting on, because those two guys aren't having anywhere near the same difficulties that he's having, and they're about 5 feet away from each other.
And they walk past and then they walk in the shot coming back the other way. The bizarre video racked up a million Facebook views in a matter of hours. I can't stop watching it. A spokesman for the Weather Channel said, quote, "It's important to note that the two individuals in the background are walking on concrete."
Oh, maybe.
"And Mike Seidel is trying to maintain his footing on wet grass after reporting on air until 1 a.m. this morning, and he's undoubtedly exhausted."
So I think the lesson to be learned is if you're in a situation like this, walk on concrete and not on the grass. You'll make a lot better traction.
Right.
He can't seem to figure that out. I will give him that. I'm sure the grass is far more slippery than the concrete, but if he just slides over just a little bit to the right, he'll be fine.
What's his name?
Mike Seidel.
Slidell. I thought it was Slidell.
Oh. Seidel.
I can't stop watching it. And I mean, grass or not, he is like fighting to stay erect. And these two dudes just walk by in gym shoes. Like,
yes.
Okay, but if you look again at his clothes, he's wearing pants.
Yes.
Thank God.
Well, but they're really, it's hard to whip pants with the wind.
No, the wind is definitely wind is there, just, Steve, but it looks like he's embellishing the force of these winds.
He's doing a Hunchback in Notre Dame sort of shuffle, right? That's what he looks like.
It's his way of saying, you know, for a human being like us to be where he is right now, it's impossible to just walk. But then, I mean, he didn't say that in those words, but I think that's the purpose of his report outside is, look how windy it is. I'm a grown man who can't even stand up because the wind just takes you away.
And those two guys are playing horse behind him.
Yeah.
I know, they're just
playing
like
frisbee.
They really
hacky
are
ball,
just
hacky sack.
Very I mean, their pants are blowing, but they're certainly not having any problems walking.
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
They are walking with the wind, which is a little different.
Yeah, but then they come back the other way.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I only have a half-baked defense.
But, I mean, is that what you want the Weather Channel to do? I mean, I guess they sensationalize a lot of things because there are weather buffs that love watching this, but I don't know. I think that's super fake.
I know he's trying to illustrate a point, but the fact that those two guys kind of delegitimize his point is upsetting, but I know that, you know, when they send you out to a troubled area, you got to show trouble, right? So maybe he's embellishing a little bit.
I guess.
Maybe.
Just, you got to see it. The New York Post has this.
Can we put it on Facebook?
Yeah, we can. He was battling to stay upright. He threw something into the wind and it blew, but not like really that much.
Right.
And he is like Marcel Marceau, as you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The best part of this is when he does try to get out of a box at the end of the
enjoyable
cut.
And then he does tug of war with a guy that's not really there. That's fun to watch. His other tricks are great.
That's pretty amusing.
Who was the news service a little while ago who had reporters stationed somewhere, and then you could see from the angle of the shots that they were all right next to each other, but they kept throwing it. They go, we'll throw it to, now we throw it to you, Mark. Take it away. But you could see that they were right next to each other. Do you remember that? That was like four or five years ago.
I don't remember that.
Can't remember what news service it was. But again, that's the news wants to show you the severity of whatever the story or the situation is. And sometimes, sadly, they have to stretch a little bit. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's the reality of it.
Well, someone said that we should ask Tom Skilling about this because he's next to a building which would make it more windy.
The building, why would the building make it more windy?
Because it's like a wind tunnel. When the wind gets stuck in there, vortex from a building corner could do that.
Oh.
In his defense, and at the time, the reporter was explaining how they have to brace themselves from the wind. I was watching and listening, but then why did the two dudes walking by not have to brace themselves?
Right.
They didn't even look like they were having much trouble. They looked like they were sauntering.
Yes, there was that. Right. Why didn't those guys call him out on it? Is it that windy by you 5 feet away? Because we're not having a hard time at all.
Although, you know, sometimes when it rains, you can, like, I'm out walking the dog and it's not raining, and then I just walk through a curtain of rain.
Right.
That's really weird.
Maybe it was like
that
with
happens.
The wind? Maybe.
Well, if you want to laugh, just watch it. It's
like Seidel. We'll put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Is it there yet, Chaz? Not yet? Almost. We've got a team of specialists working around the clock to get that done, Wendy, so very soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Do we want to take this call? I don't know for sure that I don't know. It's up to you. No?
Well, now that you mentioned it, I feel like we have
yeah?
to.
Yeah? All right.
I don't know. We had mentioned a weatherman from the Weather Channel, Mike Seidel, was seemingly battling to stay upright as he filmed a piece in North Carolina during Hurricane Florence. We have put it on our Facebook page and on Twitter. It cracks me up. John, you have a similar story?
During Hurricane.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Go ahead, John.
Hi. Yeah, so I remember just recently, I think after that came out, somebody posted a picture on Facebook of Stuart Anderson standing like in the ravine.
Anderson
on the side
Cooper.
Of the road.
Anderson Cooper, oh, right?
I'm sorry. Anderson Cooper, yes.
Stuart Anderson had the cattle standing. Company restaurant.
Yeah. And it was really good. So Anderson Cooper standing in the ditch. And the photographers are standing in the street in ankle-deep water, and he's in water above his waist.
Now, I'm looking at the picture right now, and, you know, I don't know about fake news. Some of it is fabricated. The Weather Channel guy seems to me that he is over-dramatizing the event. Anderson Cooper, and Bill, I'll show you, there's a picture of him. He is standing. He's got, like, dumbwaiters on. Is that what you call them?
Yeah, those big pants. Yeah.
Like fishing pants?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's offensive to waiters everywhere.
Yes, it is.
So he's standing there waist high with a woman who's also standing there waist high. And then as you pull back on the camera, the cameramen are ankle deep, if not anything. But, I don't know if he was trying to say it's like that all over. I'm, you know, fighting for my life. Or if he was just showing, look at how high the water is at one particular part.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a slight play on deception, you know what I mean? Making it look like the whole area is like that, and reality is it's a ravine where the water would run anyway if you had a lot of rain. So it's just kind of funny. It's a twist on the news.
And there was
I don't know if I'm going to call it lies, but
right. And there was another photo video that I kept seeing on Facebook with these several dogs were in a large kennel outside, and you show rescuers approach, and the dogs are up on their hind legs. It's pretty high water,
right?
And they open up the kennel, and the dogs swim away, and they're kind of whimpering. And then, honestly, like 15 feet later. There's ground right there. The water. I mean, in your mind, you're thinking this is all flooded and completely underwater.
It's just the point of view,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I get that. Well, thank you, and thanks for the reminding us of the cattle company. I think I used to go to ladies' night there on Thursday night.
Great restaurant. Great restaurant.
Thanks,
all right,
John.
Guys, have a good day.
Thank you.
Wendy, we've got a lot of angry texts from dumb waiters who are not happy with your use of the word, and we were going to get a text from a woman named Lazy Susan, but too much effort.
Kathy, how are you?
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that this morning I was reading about that Anderson Cooper photo, and it turns out that that's 10 years old. It's from the hurricane, or more than 10 years, it's from the hurricane that hit Texas shortly after Katrina. I remember it was around the time that Zambrano pitched the no-hitter when they had to go up play the Astros.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that old.
A long time ago.
I think that somebody re-released it, probably, maybe from a particular group of people who don't care for Anderson Cooper. I don't know.
I'm on Snopes.com, and that is true. These are clips from September 2008, featured multiple reporters capturing sites from around Texas on the day after Hurricane Ike, including Cooper himself. At one point, he's standing in waist-deep water. So he was just showing different areas of the effects of Hurricane Ike. But isn't that weird? I'm telling you, people see stuff on the internet and just automatically, I am just going to check Snopes.com for absolutely everything.
Well, this is being pushed by some people even say, like, it was put out by Trump Jr. to discredit Anderson Cooper. And Anderson Cooper went right back and slammed Trump Jr., saying, I think the word idiotic and pathetic were used right after each other.
I love how we all get along. Isn't it beautiful?
Anyway, I thought I'd just let you know that, okay?
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate that.
Appreciate it. Wendy, another byproduct of the storms that are taking place in the Carolinas I don't know if you saw pictures of these, but boy, does this look frightening. There are islands of floating fire ants all over the waterways of Carolina. It says, add one more potential threat for flood victims in the wake of Hurricane Florence, floating islands of fire ants. NBC News correspondent Gaddy Schwartz captured a video posted to Twitter of a group of fire ants forming together to navigate floodwaters in North Carolina after Florence dumped several inches of rain in the region. In an interview held back in 2015, an entomologist, Tim Davis, senior extension agent at Clemson University, said fire ants have used this floating technique for ages to escape flooding. They can typically form an island in less than two minutes, and it shows pictures of these. Now, I can't tell exactly by this photograph, but in the video, it looks like it's about a yard in circumference, and it's just hundreds of these ants that have formed together. And I don't know if you've ever been near a fire ant, even just one.
Yeah.
Not the best thing in the world for you.
Good God, that's like what hell would be.
Similar.
Fire, brimstone,
and fire ants.
And fire ants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a dumb waiter is not, those aren't the pairs of pants.
They're not?
No, it's the elevator thing in old restaurants, which brings food.
Oh, right.
What, and so, items. I don't know, but isn't there a term for those waist-high pants?
Yes. What is it?
Oh, God. If someone knows.
What is it?
I don't know.
We should know it. I will quit. You know what I'm going to do during the break is I'm going to watch A River Run Through It and see if they explain what those are called. Yeah, a dumbwaiter is that little miniature elevator that no matter how unprepared your waiter is, he can't fit in that. I don't know why it's called a dumbwaiter.
And I seem to recall it being in Marx Brothers movies a lot.
Yeah, they always had one in the right. Harpo would always find his way into one.
I don't recall what I thought those high-waisted pants were called that.
They are called waiter pants.
Like waiter.
Waiter.
W-A-D-E-R. As opposed to W-A-I-T.
That's what men go fishing in. And
Are they called dumb waiters?
No.
No, I think there's another word thrown in there somewhere,
though.
There's
a slang
term. Right? I think.
No? I just have always known them as waiter pants. Yeah, my husband has some.
Okay.
See fish?
Yeah, once in a while. But, you know.
What does he use them for, then?
He uses them to go in the water and stuff when he takes the dock in and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Waiter pants. Lined waiter pants, maybe.
Oh,
some have the suspenders.
There's some other adjective.
Because I said dumb waiter and you knew exactly
what I meant
and we're both wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cabela's calls them just waiter pants.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. All right. And Cabela's would know.
Yeah,
they would.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. And then more news for fishermen. I want to zero in, Wendy, on a very specific group. Fly fishermen in particular. I think you're going to enjoy the next half hour. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Kim. Kim, can you stick around for a second?
Sure.
I'm going to throw a question Wendy's way. And, Wendy, I'm going to give you a lifeline or two. You can use Kim. You can use anybody you want.
All right.
Because I don't know that you'll get this. 35 years ago today, so that would be September 18th, 1983... somebody famous did something with their face. What was it? 35 years ago, today's the 35th anniversary of somebody.
I know.
Go ahead. See if you can take a shot.
Howie Mandel put a rubber glove over his face and blew it up.
Oh, man. Is that a great guess?
Thank you very much, but it's
incorrect.
Wrong.
Incorrect. Mm. Incorrect.
I was going to say Kenny Rogers like probably had his sixth plastic surgery.
Oh, that's interesting, too.
Got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
That's what they say. No one to walk away, no one to run. Nope.
You got.
I just realized I know more Kenny Rogers lyrics than I thought I did.
When you're sitting at the table.
Keep going.
I don't know
the rest.
There'll be time
enough for counting when the deal ends done. Yep. That's beautiful. Come to Wendy and Kim's Hoedown at the Arby's tonight at 6:30. Mention this ad for 10% off.
I'll even dress like Daddy West.
Oh, cool.
All right. So, again, we're looking back 35 years ago. The date was September 18th, 1983. And the world was stunned, Wendy, because a celebrity, or maybe more than one celebrity, did something with their face. What could it have possibly been?
It wasn't Renee Zellweger.
No.
No. Remember, she stopped having
surgery.
But
she would have been, 35 years ago, she would have been... six or
well,
something.
That would have made news.
This is just scaring me because I was a senior in high school 35 years ago, so that's just the thought of that 35 years ago was like
Right,
that more than I can
was
handle.
It the Michael That's Michael Jackson Pepsi commercial thing.
What a great guess from Jasmine. Michael Jackson, who had a propensity for lighting himself on fire for propane, he had a propensity for propane. Did he light himself on fire 35 years ago?
Or Richard Pryor?
Nope, neither of them.
He had a cocaine freebasing issue.
Can you give us a second guess, or will that give it away?
I'm trying to think of what I could tell you. Up until that point, no one was familiar with their face in the way that they were that day.
Somebody went makeup free the first time?
That could be right.
No.
That could be right.
Or they did a photo shoot makeup free?
Maybe. I think we're heading in the right direction now.
Jodie Foster.
It was not Jodie Foster. And actually, when you find out who it was and what they did, it's the exact polar opposite of it, of Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster.
Did she get you mad?
That's her name in the winter.
It wasn't Demi Moore with the pregnant.
No.
That's your face.
No. Yeah. This is very
that movie,
facially oriented.
That John Travolta switched faces with somebody
Face
during that.
Face Off with Nicolas Cage.
I loved that movie.
What a great movie. I know Nicolas people always Cage. Talk about Citizen Kane as being the greatest movie of all time, but Face Off is not.
Travolta lost on that one, though.
Yeah, he got Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, face. You don't want that.
No. What?
Right. Every time I think of poor Nicolas Cage, it's from that stupid Peggy Sue Got Married when he had the fake teeth.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
That's how he talks. Wow.
Does it involve a celebrity or just a normal person?
It involves a celebrity.
Okay.
And maybe, Kim, maybe possibly more than one. Maybe. Does that help or hurt?
Nothing.
If you're just tuning in,
we saw crickets. We saw Kiss without makeup for the first time, says 815.
On September 18th, 1983, the guys from Kiss.
Oh thank good. You, listener.
For the yes, first time ever, showed up and did something makeupless.
And we screamed, put the makeup,
yeah,
the
really.
Makeup on.
Gene Simmons,
come
totally
on, guys.
Put it back on.
Here's the story. This is from Yahoo. Nowadays, celebrities, I like saying nowadays, Wendy, I'm going to say that more often. Nowadays, celebrities going makeup-free for the camera lens is an everyday Instagram occurrence. But 35 years ago, when grease-painted rock gods Kiss, is that the best way to describe Kiss? Grease-painted rock gods, bared their faces on live television. It was a shocker. On September 18th, 1983, that's 35 years ago, Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, and relatively new band members Vinnie Vincent and the late Eric Carr. So this is when Kiss had already kind of had some trouble.
Morphed.
Yeah. Yeah. Took it all off for a Sunday evening performance at an MTV press conference. And against all odds, the Make Under actually revitalized their flagging career. Up until that fateful night, the 1980s had not been kind to Kiss. Within the decade's first 2 years, original members Ace Frehley and Peter Criss had left the group. A previous attempt to change with the times, with the ambitious but laughably misguided 1981 concept album, The Elder, was a commercial disaster. I don't remember that album at all. 10 years after their entirely different way, like Boy George or Duran Duran, perhaps that is why MTV execs stuck Kiss's press conference in the graveyard time slot of 11 p.m. on a Sunday night, or why the event transpired with such a surprising lack of on-camera fanfare. I kind of remember that night. I didn't watch it.
I do remember it making news.
Yeah. Now, a very short time after, I was still doing stand-up, and I was working in Indianapolis, and at the club I was working at, right next door to the comedy club, was a concert venue, and Kiss played there. And the line, even though these were down years for Kiss, the mid-1980s, the line went out the door and around the block. Like, I never saw a line that long for anything. As there was to see Kiss that night.
They were very popular. And it's funny, I'm on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame website, and this is interesting. This is their description. Kiss combined the blues glam swagger of New York Dolls and Alice Cooper's B-movie theatricality with the Beatles' melodic and pop chops.
I would disagree with that last part.
It's tough to compare them to the Beatles, but
the same number of guys in the group is about as far as that comparison can go. And some of them play musical instruments.
Beth is a beautiful song.
Beth is a I will give you that.
And they really harmonized and
right. But I think
But then Lick It Up kind of ruins that.
B- But didn't true Kiss fans hate Beth? Because Beth, by the way, one of their songs written for, was it Ace Frehley's girlfriend? Was that her name, Beth? I'm trying to remember. But the true Kiss fans who wanted headbanging music, whenever you mention Beth to them, they get violently ill.
Really? Because I know Kiss fans that love it.
Yeah. I think that's their... If they have three good songs, Beth is one of them.
Well, they're still touring, and they're...
I know they are.
And somebody at this radio station touched tongues with Gene Simmons.
Was that somebody named you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was at the Sam Adams Boston plant, a radio junket, and people were there, and Gene Simmons came up, and I said, you know, I've got a pretty long tongue myself, and I stuck my tongue out. Well, because that's what he's known for.
I know, but you know if you throw that down to him, there's something ugly is going to happen.
Well, here's the weird thing. So then I stuck my I can't touch my nose because I can't curve it up, but I can touch the bottom of my chin. So I put my tongue out, and as I did that, he walked up and licked my tongue that was out. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was pregnant with Dylan at the time.
From that?
God, you don't know how things work.
That doesn't seem possible.
Yes, I am the love child of Gene Simmons, which explains a lot.
Yeah.
So I called my husband, and I'm like, Jim, the weirdest thing just happened. I said, I met Gene Simmons, and I stuck my tongue out, and he licked my tongue. And he goes, I don't know whether that is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard or the coolest thing.
I'm going the first one.
Well, it happened.
Was he in a band called French Kiss or just Kiss?
Just Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of shocked me. I got to.
Did you have to lay down after that?
No, but I didn't know what to do. I wiped my tongue off.
That's not even a start.
Yeah, I don't know.
You get a tongue transplant after that. Think about where, seriously.
I don't really want to think of that.
Think about where that tongue has been.
Not earlier that day, hopefully.
I don't know. I've heard stories.
Again, I don't know if I'm disgusted or if I'm proud of the moment. I think we'll leave it as a little of each.
Right.
Bittersweet, if you will.
A little break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We were just telling you that 35 years ago today, the band Kiss showed up on an MTV special without their makeup. It's the first time anyone had ever seen them without their makeup. Wendy then kissed one of the guys in the band. It's
no,
a weird story.
I did not. He licked my tongue. And that would be Gene Simmons.
A lot of texts worried about you and your tongue. The one thing Kiss did that I thought was brilliant was that in the height of their popularity, when everyone knew a Kiss album was coming out, they would guaranteed they'd hit the top 20, the top 10 immediately. But they decided at one point that all four guys would put out solo albums, and I think they were all released on the same day.
Really?
Yeah. So that meant, if you were a Kiss fan, you weren't going to buy one album that day. You were going to buy four of them, four times the revenue. Brilliant move.
Loved Beth as a lifelong Kiss fan. So you said
good.
Kiss fans don't like it. I never heard them not liking it.
A couple of my friends that were just maniacs for the band, if you brought that song up, they would look at you like,
it's too pure.
We're not talking about it. Right. It's too melodic. I don't want it.
Beth was sung by Peter Criss, and that was his girlfriend.
It was his girlfriend, not Ace Frehley. I'm sorry.
And everyone texted in when you asked what happened 35 years ago. Everyone said Kiss unmasked, Kiss. They took off their makeup, and then somebody just simply texted Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh yeah, she did not take her makeup off that day, but she did wear makeup that was reminiscent of Kiss.
And when her husband
Jim.
I was going to say went down when he got in trouble, when the stuff went down about him. Do you remember her crying and her mascara was just all over the place?
It was quite a mess. Yeah. Yeah.
And then she was on some reality series, and I fell in love with her.
With Jim J. Bullock.
Yeah, well, they did a show together. Corey Feldman actually became quite friendly, and Vince Neil of Motley Crue and Tammy Faye Baker were quite close.
Wendy, I have asked our friend John Williams to stop by the studio for several reasons. First of all, it's always good to see you, John. Thank you for being here.
As it is good to see you, too.
Hello, John.
Thank you.
Yo.
We were talking about a moment on your show yesterday that I hope you'll remember.
And, that we and both heard.
We both heard.
This can't be good.
Bill Daly was on yesterday. Great get, by the way.
Thank you.
Well, perfect timing on Bill Daly.
It's good for all of us.
And at some point, you were talking about the Van Dyke trial.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned toward the end that, and I'll let you say it in your own words, there could be some problems here in town if the verdict goes a certain way.
Right.
And you were reprimanded.
He said that people like me are the problem if we're going to try and incite violence.
Yeah.
Which I get both sides of it because you're not trying to do that. You're just making an observation, which a lot of us have the same feeling. But I understand Bill Daly's point in this as well, saying don't put it out there.
You know, I appreciate you bringing that up, Wendy. I actually was thinking about that this morning. I don't know that I was going to address it on my show today, but I thought he was insinuating that if we talk about that, that might encourage it. And I thought, are you kidding me? Do you think that us talking about the possibility that there would be violence if this goes a certain way, that's just going to dawn on people? Oh, yeah, hey, maybe we should turn some cars over and loot and riot? I mean, that happens. And I hate to think about it, but I asked him, what do you think the possibility is here? Or don't you, I said, don't you think there should be a kumbaya, some sort of meeting where you get pastors and you get family members and you get the police and they all together send out a similar message, let's all be civil about whatever happens in this case.
But you know that to some extent that has happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had that.
I'm sure that the police are planning for it. If the city does not anticipate that as an eventuality and have a plan A for that, then they're not doing their job.
Right.
I don't think us wondering about that is suggesting something. I mean, we don't have that much power. Are you kidding me?
People who are going to do something like that have already made up their mind. They're not all of a sudden going to be swayed by something that's said on the radio.
And that it sounds like we're gunning for it.
No.
And we're not.
But we're all thinking about it.
Oh, yeah. All right. So I'm curious. The interview was great. It was a very informative, well-done interview on both your side and his side.
I thought he did well.
Yeah. Did the mood change after that or not? Was everything okay after that?
It was fine.
It sounded fine after that.
All right. I brushed it off. I said, yeah, I don't like the sound of those words coming out of my mouth either, but I think that's a fair question.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was okay about it.
Yeah.
I don't think we, you know, burned a bridge there.
Yeah.
I sure hope not because...
No.
And, you know, and although the intern that's helping us out, Johnny and Ella were on the other side of the glass, and he said, boy, we're getting a lot of heat on the phones about what you said, John. I said, okay. But then somebody else texted and said, that's the gorilla in the room.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's not inappropriate to ask a guy who wants to be mayor and run these things about that. So that's in play.
Right.
So,
if you missed the interview with Bill Daly on the John Williams Show, you can go to WGNRadio.com and listen to it. Great job. And we're all thinking that. I feel that's safe to assume.
Yeah, I know. And really, if we don't have to talk about it anymore, but I hope that people behind the scenes are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be nice if Laquan McDonald's family, I visited with his uncle the other day on the phone off the air. And he seems to be a civil, you know, stand-up gentleman. If that guy and the police or somebody from the mayor's office are having, I would hope they're having meetings saying, whichever way this goes is going to be an upset constituency. Let's manage it now.
Yeah, right.
I hope so.
For everybody who said that they think Rahm Emanuel is leaving office because of this case, he's in office now as this case is being heard.
Yeah.
So is that a legitimate reason for him to have not wanted to be the mayor anymore?
Do you want to be the mayor for the next 4 years? I mean, I think it's the death of a thousand cuts. This is one of many things that make being the mayor of Chicago difficult and not fun.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You don't have to be mayor if you don't want to be.
Right. So true.
You look at Bill Daly and go, really?
Yeah.
I know. That's the first question.
Why don't you run for governor? That seems like a walk in the park.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Really, we should not vote for any of these people just because they want the job.
Yeah, something's
crazy.
Wrong with them.
Thank
you
for coming in and talk to us. John, of course, can be heard at 1 o'clock today, so listen to John. Great job yesterday.
Well, it's nice of you guys to say I appreciate your listening, and thanks for giving me a chance to sound off.
Of course. Of course. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's coming up in a bit.
That's right, and the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.